Podcasting live at the time we recorded it. From the studios in downtown Gulfport, Florida, it's WGAB, The Gabcast.
Welcome back to WGAB, The Gabcast, a Gabber newspaper production. I'm Patrick Heinzen, the news and politics reporter for The Gabber, and I'm here with...
I'm Kathy Silvestri, the owner slash publisher slash person who writes the checks for the paper.
And we have a couple things we're going to talk to you about today. Kathy and I are going to start by talking about former Mayor Mike Yakes. And after that, we're going to have everybody's favorite segment, Kathy with a cop.
Not everybody.
Cam isn't here to be as energetic, but it's not her favorite segment, although she does invite the cops. And then we're just going to have a little conversation after that. So let's jump right in.
All right.
So as many of you probably know, about a week ago, former Mayor Mike Yakes, Michael J. Yakes, he passed away on the afternoon of...
It was Tuesday. It was we didn't find out about it till right after we sent the paper to the printer.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mike was, I don't think you ever met him, did you?
I never met
him. Yeah, he's been out of the politics scene for a while, but when I moved to Gulfport in 2003, he was the mayor and had been the mayor and was the mayor. He walked out on his own terms. I mean, he retired when he was ready to go. And, you know, Sam Henderson is also... like it or not, following that legacy of being a long, long-term mayor. Mm-hmm. And Gulfport's really benefited, I think, from having the same hand on the tiller, so to speak, for so many years. Mike knew everything. But more than being mayor, I mean, he was a council member before he got elected mayor. He always impressed me with how very much he was about this city. Like, one of the things, and we talk about it in the article, what a lot of people who didn't know Mike probably didn't realize is he raised, I said it once jokingly, like 90 kids who were not biologically his. But he and his wife, who she predeceased him, she was a firecracker. I really liked her. I mean, they took care of kids. I mean, he has so many kids out there that owe whatever good start they got in life to Mayor Mike. And that's really commendable. And he loved the city. I mean, he was always very important to him. And he would say it to me often that it was important to him that Gulfport be a place where people could age in place. Like, he didn't want people to have to leave Gulfport when they got to be a certain age because there weren't services there for them. I've never met anybody who cared so much for this city. I mean, I didn't always agree with him. I frequently disagreed with him. But, I mean, the disagreements were usually minor scale. Like, I think it should be X and not Y, not I think we should blow up the city. No, we shouldn't. I mean, it was always, you know, minor stuff.
And from talking with people before the article, it seems like everybody kind of had the same vibe of just there was nobody who cared more about the city and who really looked for things to improve throughout his whole life. And like, we have photos of him from Gecko Fest a couple of years back, and he's up there carrying the
I mean, it just it's the most ridiculous photo because he's got this crazy curly Q stick and he's like, go, go, go. And he loved it, though. I mean, he had a real zest for Gulfport. And like I said, I didn't always agree with him, but I always respected him. And I know he had had some health issues, which incidentally did not die, as the, it was a surprise to everybody, probably him too, when he died last week. But he had had in the past some health issues. And I remember they would take him to Palms of Pasadena and he would call me and he would have set up an office in his hospital room because he was worried about this or that and wanted to make sure the Gabber knew this or that. I mean, he was... I don't know that we see that type of small town leadership anymore. I don't know that we see that zest for the city in the same way.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I, like you said, he was there for a long time. He was a council member for 5 years and then mayor for 22.
Yes.
So in the article, it talks about how many people he got to know through just, like you said, walking up and down the streets and meeting people, and then also through his business with the city. And then after and before that, when he was just always around Gulfport, always making sure that things were going on. And I'm sure you might recognize them. If you don't, if you never met Mike Yakes, you know the Recreation Center, the Michael J. Yakes Recreation Center. There's the MY Foundation.
My Foundation,
yeah. Yeah, My Foundation.
No, MY, it's Michael Yakes. That's what it's for.
Yeah, and it's like you said, the foundation is really focused on just providing children with ability to learn and have recreation and have fun and do really important things in the life of a child that a lot don't get to have.
It was important to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the conventional thinking is, you know, if you lose an election, you're not going to get a building named after you. But Mike never lost an election. He stepped down, and I can't think of a building more appropriate to name for him than the rec center, where so many kids come through, mm-hmm. because it was his passion.
Yeah.
You're going to make me... It's sad.
No, of course it is. I mean, I spoke with City Manager Jim O'Reilly, and he knew him for 50-plus years, and the mayor knew him. I spoke with Barbara, who owns Stella's across the street, and she knew him both from council and also from... She said that he came up when they were opening Stella's, and he was like one of the first people to greet them at Stella's and kind of take her up and down the street and talk to her about, like, check this out, like, welcome to Beach Boulevard. You're doing something really cool here. And now Stella's is a mainstay here. And she gives credit to Mike for kind of being the first person to really bring them there and welcome them there, you know?
All you can say is that he lived his whole life for Gulfport and those kids, obviously. Mm-hmm. And
he moved here when he was just a young kid, apparently. We read that in the article. He was born in Michigan.
We read that in the article. You wrote that in the article. We're winning at journalism.
I did write the article. Yes. So
no, but he was a statesman. He was a good leader. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I didn't always agree with him. I sat through some pretty contentious council meetings, mm-hmm. which it's been ramped up in the past 5 years, probably, mm-hmm. but contentious for, you know, pre-2020. And I would watch him, and I've never seen, Sam's getting really good at it, and I'm sorry that he has to, but people would say horrible things about mm-hmm. him. They would get up for their public comment, and they would say nasty things about him to his face, and Mike would sit there just... Poker face. I wouldn't want to play poker mm-hmm. with him because he just gave nothing away. He listened to people.
Yeah.
He really heard people. He didn't always agree with them, but I always believe that as an elected official, you have one job, and that is to hear what the people you represent want, mm-hmm. bring it to the publicly noticed meeting, and see is there something we can do about it. Mm-hmm. And Mike was a champion of that. Like,
yeah, and I think that's a kind of the mark of a good public servant, is being able to, when somebody criticizes you or looks you in the eye and tells you something that you think you're doing wrong, it's not about kind of getting mad about it. It's about saying, you're mad at me because there's something wrong that you want me to fix. So what can I do? You know?
And that's the nature of mm-hmm. small government.
So. I don't remember who said the quote, but somebody, when I was speaking to them, said that he used to walk the streets looking for problems so that he could fix them. Like, he would just walk around and be constantly on the move. Improvement, you know?
We had a reporter, previous iteration of the paper, and he tripped on his way to the annual tree lighting, which is a big thing, mm-hmm. first Monday in December. They light the tree. He tripped and busted up his knee. And mm-hmm. the mayor saw him at the tree lighting and saw his knee. Is what happened. The mayor went and found the broken brick and brought it to the city and said, we need to fix this broken brick. Like, that is a granular level of leadership.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I respect that.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
Anyway, Mayor Mike, cheers.
And on a significantly happier note, it's time for everybody's favorite segment, Kathy with a Cop, up next on WGAB The Gabcast.
Did you know, in 1968, our founder, George Brann, started the Gabber newspaper, then called the Gulfport Gabber, to hold Gulfport City Council accountable. Read more of our City Council coverage and learn about our policies on reporting, fact-checking, and funding. Visit thegabber.com.
And we're back. Thanks for sticking with us. And of course, we have the police chief, Rob Vinson, at least the chief for now, he gave his notice.
I did.
An extended notice. What is it? You resign on my birthday, right?
Extended notice?
Yeah, you give a bunch of notice. It's not
6 months. That's pretty traditional, yeah, for a position like this.
You hear that, staff? You want to quit? You got to give 6 months notice. Thank you for that. You're kind of young.
Wow, thanks.
To retire.
I've been here 30 years. That's longer than most police officers serve.
Okay, but what are you going to do?
But I started when I was 8, so.
What are you going to do?
I have
Are you going to police? No idea what I'm going to do.
Are
you going to just be like a vigilante up in Georgia? Going to be on next door?
Well, my wife is an only child, and she is committed to being close by her parents should they need any help. So we built a house on their roughly 35-acre farm in South Georgia, and that's where our home base will be, but I don't know where I'll end up. We'll see. I don't think I want to be done working. I'll probably work another few years at least, but at what? I don't know.
Manager at Publix.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I see you doing that. So obviously we're not going to talk about what we're doing to replace you because you said you didn't want to talk about that.
Well, I'll tell you now what I told you before. I'll give my recommendation to the city manager, and that's who I'll give my recommendation to. But it's up to him to decide what he wants to do. We have two people who are very qualified working at the police department now, Josh and Mary. And
have they both expressed an interest?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So either one of them would do a great job. Absolutely.
The city can go outside to hire. They could certainly do a job search.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, obviously that's up to the city manager, but I would think if that's something he was going to do, he probably would have opened it up by now because it takes a long time to get through that process.
Or you could do what St. Pete did, go through the process and then hire somebody else completely different anyway.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Well, they said that they didn't get anybody from the search that they thought could serve the city appropriately. So I get that, but that's a lot of money. Those are not cheap. It's not like an Indeed $350 a month listing.
Right.
I mean, I guess the city could do that, but how do police officers find jobs? Not chiefs. I've always wondered, how do you like say, I'm a cop. I don't want to be a cop for, I don't know, Emerald City anymore. I want to work for Ruby City.
Okay.
How do you find officers and how do officers find you?
Well, there's two different groups, if you will. One is people who are already working somewhere as officers, like you just alluded to. But the other are people who are not, people who have no certification. And we have been having more success recruiting those people lately. And then sending them to a police academy. That costs some more money to do it that way. But we're able to mold them from the beginning instead of trying to revisit whatever issue they may have had wherever they worked before. So experience isn't always what it's cracked up to be. So we've got right now two people in the academy. And I've got two people that we'll bring on board next month who we're going to send to the academy. So four people out of 33. Yeah. That's where we're getting our best luck right now.
Does everybody have to pass the physical aspect of it?
Yes.
Yes. No matter, even if they're retired out of law enforcement, want to come back to work.
Right. You can't still have to pass a physical fitness test and a medical exam.
Is it like the PAT, like
yes,
I failed?
That one. Same one.
I have, what year was that?
It was a while ago.
It was more than 10 years ago, and I was in much better shape.
In fact, we have one of the recruits who's in the academy now. She failed the test. We hired her anyway on the condition that before she graduated the academy, she had to pass it. So, you know, you have to do the whole rigmarole in like 6 minutes.
Just to drag that dead body?
Yes. The dead body.
I just want to say that would have been a lot more exciting for me had it been an actual dead body.
It would have been harder to do, I promise.
I didn't do it.
But
I couldn't pick it up. I failed.
150 pounds. I don't think we've got two people that weigh 150 pounds or less. So she failed it, but then she took the test like 2 weeks ago, and you have to pass it within 6 minutes. Her first try was over 7 minutes. So she's been in the academy now for about 4 months, and she just did it in less than 4 minutes.
So that's better than you did.
Yeah.
That's better than Woodman did. Better than Han did.
She's half my age.
You were half your age when you did it.
I don't think so.
It was close.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you just, I mean, so people, somebody wants to be a cop with GPD, they just reach out to, like...
Yeah, we got some minimum qualifications. You know, you have to be a citizen. You have to have a Florida driver's license or the ability to get one. We want you to have at least 3 points from three different sources. 1 point for each year of college, 1 point for each year of military service, 1 point for each year of time in a law enforcement explorer program.
Okay.
So, you know, that way we get some variety. We don't just want to say you have to have a degree, because what if somebody went to college for a year and then they served 2 or 3 years in the military? So,
all right. So, yeah. Follow-up question with that.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting officers from, it sounds like, a variety of sources. And I do tend to agree with you. I think that's cross-industry. It is so much nicer to hire somebody without experience because they don't have all the bad habits, right? That's super important to me, is yeah. I don't want to retrain lazy reporters or that stuff. So, but you're getting people across the spectrum, but I know you have certifications, and I know we get it in the city manager's report. You renewed this accolade and this and yay you. But to me, there are a couple of things that speak to what makes GPD unique. One, the number of times your officers discharge their weapons is like zero, other than I think...
Is that wood?
There's no wood. And the fact that we haven't had, with Gulfport's unfortunate reputation as a sundown town, we haven't had any race-related issues that have borne fruit. There was one a couple of years ago, and then when we all saw the video, we saw that it was really not a matter of black versus white.
Once in a while, somebody will come forward and say they were profiled because of race, but it's
so how do you
every time we're able to disprove it because we have evidence that shows that it's not happening.
Well, more to the point, no disrespect, it's easy for you to disprove it, but more to the point, when we as reporters see the video or we see that it's they're extended. This was not somebody targeting a black child in a high school.
Right.
It was already something happening. But what do you credit that to? Because that's not something, they don't hand out awards for that. You don't get a certification from, you know, FDLE or whoever for that. So how do you credit that culture? Because it can't just all be you. Because you're one dude.
You have to instill in everybody from the get-go exactly what is expected. And then you have to hold them to that. And that's what we do. We hire the right people. We train them the right way. We hold them accountable if they do the wrong thing. And everyone knows that. It's really that simple. You know, everyone knows the unfortunate reputation that we used to have. And everyone understands they have to proactively defeat it. And if that means, you stop a car and the person is a little agitated about why you pulled me over, there's not going to be an argument. I'm going to explain to you why I pulled you over and what the law was that you broke. You know, it's got to be that way. I remember one case I had where this car ran from me and he stopped in front of a house, got out, ran into the house somewhere in Child's Park. And I ran up to the door and lawfully I could have kicked the door open and went in there, but I didn't. I knocked on the door and this older lady came to the door and she asked me what I wanted. And I said, I need to talk to the young man that just ran in the house. And she said, what for? What do you do? I said, can I show you? And she's like, okay. So she walked back out to the car, and I pointed out that the license plate on the car, the expiration decal did not match the license plate. Someone had altered it. And she looked at it really close, and she's like, okay. So she went in the house and dragged the guy out of the house. So it was just, you know, cooperation. You know, you explain what's going on.
I've had a couple of your officers explained to me off the record that quite honestly, when they pull over a black person, they tend to exhibit more care. Like they'll immediately start with, hey, I'm not looking for trouble. This is why we pulled you over. Do you want to see the taillight that's out? You know, like kind of understanding how stressful and anxiety producing it can be for a black person to get pulled over.
Sure. Well, like I said, they have to be proactive about making sure that the people they deal with, and not black people or any other race, I mean, in any situation, making sure that the people they deal with know, it's called procedural justice is the name for it, where anyone involved in interaction with the justice system even if they get a ticket, even if they get a fine, even if they get arrested, they understand the process. And we have the responsibility to make sure they understand the process. And so they feel like, okay, I did something wrong, but at least I'm being treated fair. It means a lot.
Well, I've never been ticketed by a Gulfport officer. I've been
hang on a sec.
No. I've been pulled over once. He was more than fair to me. I was driving on a suspended license and didn't know it. And that was kind. And then I had, of course, the famous, when you were not chief, where you texted me and said, I'm having lunch at O'Maddy's. I just saw you run a stop sign.
Oh.
Am I going to have to give up my lunch next time, or are you going to stop next time? And I went, no, sir, I'll stop. And I I said something to the former chief, who was the chief at the time. He's like, well, I want to know why Rob didn't ticket you. And I asked him, he says, you're going to stop the next time? Then that's why I don't have to ticket you. You're going to do what you need to do. So, but
the rules.
You know, I would hope that should I get a ticket, I can appreciate that procedural justice.
Absolutely.
Or you could just go, you know what? She's probably tired. Let's not ticket her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, chief. We're going to let you get back to fighting the good fight. And we'll see you next week or 2 weeks from now. Or
whenever you need me, just let me know.
All right. Well, next week we're going to have probably Friends of Strays back on with a cute little cat. Do you want to adopt a cat?
No, I have too many cats. We're done.
You got
with
all
cats.
That property in Georgia.
Mm-mm.
You're going to need a barn cat.
No, no barn cat.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time on Kathy with a Cop.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Find all your Gulfport and Tampa Bay beaches news and things to do at thegabber.com.
All right. Welcome back. Patrick, welcome back.
I'm back. I was right over there and now I'm here.
They didn't see you over there.
I know, but they heard me.
Did they?
Probably. Probably not. We were petting Mabel the whole time.
Hi, Mabel.
Hi, Mabel.
So this week's issue has really leaned into some things in Gulfport that predate you working for us. And I appreciate that, right? Like, so I sat in your seat for more than a decade.
Yeah.
And this was like old home week for me. I'm like, oh, Lincoln Cemetery. Oh, Mayor Mike, I can do this all right here. But for you, it was a little bit of a stretch because you didn't cover Mayor Mike.
Yeah, this kind of sounds bad, but when I first got the email from, I don't remember his name, I'm sorry, that Mayor Mike had died, I just said Michael Yakes, and I'm like, I know that name, but I don't know who it was. I knew it from the Recreation Center, and I was like, okay, I'm putting two and two together now. And then I did... spoke with people and did research and stuff, and that was easy to do. But in the same way about Lincoln Cemetery, where it came up again recently at Gulfport City Council, so I had to learn all about the history of Lincoln Cemetery, and I went back into our articles that we'd written in the past, and I spoke with a lot of people and just learned about it. But it was, especially this week, it was kind of weird to be like, at least in Gulfport, writing about things that are just... they're happening, but it's about like
a stuff time that happened when you were like in high school.
Yeah.
Or middle school.
Oh, Mayor Mike was. When did he come into. I mean, if he was 22 years.
27
years. 27
I think.
Years, and he retired in 2013. So yeah. He was mayor before I was born.
All right. I'm just going to take my Geritol now. It's fine. So this is one of the struggles, right? Like mm-hmm. one of the goals for me for this podcast is I want there to be something every week where we talk a little bit about how we make the news, because I feel like people don't understand all the little and big challenges that go into putting out a paper mm-hmm. every week. And this to one is me. Like, I own the paper.
Mm-hmm.
I am right now the publisher and the editor, and I am trying not to just go, oh, well, I can write that. Like,
mm-hmm.
And it's hard, right? Because I know these people. I know all the players, but I need you. I need Cam to have those same relationships. And it's a small paper, and it's a small community, and it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a struggle because we want to keep the spirit of the Gabber true to what the Gabber is. But I can't do that as a one-man show or a one-woman mm-hmm. show. I need to try and osmosis that spirit over to you. Do you feel the osmosising?
I do. I was there because I think about like... my first Gulfport council meeting, you came with me, and you sat next to me and you texted me the name of every person that spoke, and you were like, get this quote, get this, and kind of went through. And then after that, it was just on my own. And then at the last meeting, Cam came with me and I was telling her that this person, that this person.
But you have to have a basis. Like, I but then you've got to find your own way, because Gulfport, just like the paper, just like the world, Gulfport is changing.
Yeah.
Like, everything is just a little bit different every week. And it's I hate to use the quote from The Handmaid's Tale, and I don't think it's from The Handmaid's Tale, but Margaret Atwood uses it. Like, you could be boiled to death without realizing it if you just slow, like, the change is incremental, right? You're not getting boiled to death. You're not a frog. But the change is incremental. Like, you know, eventually this person starts coming and this other person stops coming, and everything just slowly changes.
Yeah.
And you have to be there, like, the breadth of coverage. And that's why, you know, we were joking today during the proofing process about Cam firing you. And it's like a nightmare to replace your position, because so much of what happens at council, like, so much of, like, you can now go back if they talk about the marina.
Yeah.
You can now go, but you're the one with that institutional knowledge. Anybody else has to go to the Gabber. You remember the charrette and how people felt and all that. So we're not firing you this week. Probably ever, we hope. You'd have to really mess up pretty bad. Anyway. So what has been what you didn't expect about this job?
Well,
more Taylor Swift than you thought?
Less Taylor Swift than I thought.
Really?
Yeah.
We can up our T-Swift game.
I'm good. Okay. I think, so when I applied for the job, I didn't know what I would be doing. I was just like, oh, I want to write. And you came to News and Politics, and I kind of said yes for the sole reason of I wanted a job. And I was like, I'll do news.
That's what I respect about Gen
Z. I'll do whatever.
That's how Gen X was. I can do whatever. I'll be whoever you want to be if you're going to give me a check.
And I think what summarizes the best thing my dad said when, during the election, because I told him, and he's like, for a small town, they really got a lot of bullshit going on. And I was like, yeah, but
that is not inaccurate.
But at the same time, it's like, there's a sense of excitement being the person who's supposed to report on what happens at council, when what's been happening at council is always something more interesting than you expect it to be.
That's the surprise. Council's like the stealth interesting.
Yeah. You always say the joke that they should have a bar in the back.
They should have a bar in the back. We could make so much money for the city.
It is like, if you live in Gulfport and you're interested in, like, the way the city works, go to council, because it is more entertaining than you might think.
It is not
entertaining in, like, you're laughing at people or whatever. It's just interesting. It is interesting.
We had, there was a gentleman in town for a long time, and he died right before we bought the paper, and he would challenge me on so many things when I worked for the paper. And when I left, he's like, it's not as interesting without you here. And his widow came to me and said, Bob would want me to give you money to buy this paper, because and he would always say to me, Kathy, it's the best reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
He would go to every single meeting. He wouldn't always speak. He just sat there because he's like, this is reality TV.
And there's a lot of people in Gulfport. I mean, there's a lot of people who are, like, involved in the community and want to know. But it's also, there's people who just go because it's good to know, and it's interesting to be there, and it's more fun than it thinks. The only bad part is the chairs are so uncomfortable to sit in for, like,
well, maybe we have a seat. Maybe I'll get you a beanbag. We'll get the Gabber beanbag, because we used to have a seat at city council well before my time. It was like one of those old high school desks that had the writing pad in front of it. We had it in here until we donated it to the museum. Maybe we'll get you a Gabber beanbag.
If anybody in city staff is listening, please let me sit at the staff table so I don't need to type on my knees, like, on my lap. It's more difficult.
I'll talk to them. We'll get you a beanbag.
I did it once, and it was like the best day of my life. I was writing at the table.
Bar is really low for you, isn't it?
I don't do much these days.
Okay. No, city council is, I had a lot of fun covering it, but our former editor, Shelley Wilson, used to say I was the only person who got obscenely excited over how to describe a millage rate to people.
I've always said that my favorite thing about the job is having to learn about a bunch of little, like, just the talking points about everything. So, like, that's my favorite part about being a journalist, is you just learn, like, a tiny
I
bit
love
about
that.
Everything.
I love that. It's called being a Renaissance man. You are like Ben Franklin, except without the dead bodies in his basement. Did you know that?
What makes you think I don't have a basement, actually. I live in Florida.
You live in Florida?
Yeah.
Did you know Ben Franklin put bodies in his basement?
I could have assumed.
He did anatomy studies. Don't make it dirty. I know. It's weird. And on that note, we'll see you next week on WGAB, the podcast. Thanks for tuning in.
The Gabcast, not the podcast.
Shit.